excerpt from Hakim's text on the peoples of the sand. In the year 2503 AR, the cult of Lamashtu unleashed a terrible disease called the Plague of Madness upon the city of Wati. More than 60% of the city's population perished in the streets and in their homes through those times, and Wati was virtually abandoned for over 450 years. Then, in 2953, the Church of Pharasma returned to Wati and established a new temple in the city's ruins called the Grand Mausoleum. Walling off much of the original city, the Pharasmans transformed the ancient settlement into an enormous necropolis, consecrating it in honor of the city's dead. Over the next 1,700 years, people slowly returned to rebuild a new city adjacent to the old one, and today the living city of Wati is more than three times that of the original. 7 years ago, Pharaoh Kemet III, the Ruby Prince, formally opened Osirian's ancient tombs and burial sites to foreign explorers. Our current pharaoh understood that it was adventurers who traveled these great distances in search for treasure, typically do not return to where they came from, yet sell their discoveries at their first opportunity. Instead, they would trade with things as quickly as possible, offloading these seized to the closest civilized communities where they could get a strong economy flowing and absorb the influx of all these antiquities. A minor industry has sprung up just to support these visiting explorers, and even larger infrastructures have come into being to serve foreign investors and traders. Yes. Every opening of a major site has heralded an economic boom from the local area as well as Osirion as a whole. Recently, Pharaoh has decreed the opening of half the City of the Dead by the Church of Pharasma to these explorers in hope of furthering this economic boon to the country.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Man from Osirion, Mummy's Mask. Our scene takes place on the Gurundi continent on the south side of the Inner Sea, falling from the skies of Galorian down upon not the capital of Sothis, but upriver of the River Sphinx, where the Crook and Asp River diverge, split off the city known as the half-dead city of Wati. In the center of the city is the Grand Mausoleum, a church structure dedicated to the priestly order of Pharasma, the Lady of Graves, goddess of death and fate. In one singular wing of this building lay a man in an infirmary. He has spent several days fighting a fever and is now up and about, pacing the room nervously and confused at his new situation and surroundings.
Well, I'm glad to see you up so quickly. Yes, it's very interesting. How do you feel?
How do I feel? I feel terrible. Look at this. One day with these people, and I wake up and I'm missing my hand. What has happened to me? Pacing back and forth. Where could I have put it? I mean, was the dream real?
Dream? You're rambling. What's the last thing that you remember?
The last thing I recall is walking through the gates of the dead city so we could explore. And then suddenly, things just faded to black and I have very, very little memory of what has happened to me.
Well, there are tales that you tried to climb the spire just inside. That is most unusual. The gods were going to bring you down with arrows and javelins, but something happened and there you were on the ground. I did the best I could to revive you, but for the longest time, I thought that you would perish.
But why would I climb this spire? That makes no sense to me. I've seen this thing 1,000 times through the gates.
I wish I knew, yes. But I don't.
What happened to my hand?
I didn't see it laying there, and you were not assaulted as far as I can tell. I just don't know. The wound looks cleanly healed, so this doesn't look to be too terribly recent.
And as he's rambling, I start pacing again. The dream, it must have been real. Oh, what is going on? I'm so confused.
I have to patch my entire intro. My mic was off. I'm not going to do it now. But it's I apologize to the internet. We got Frank and my mic was picking up the audio. There's
an acronym they used to say in the old texts. What is it? Proper preparation prevents pissy. What? What?
Oh, we were set up, but there are buttons to push in a certain order, and I missed one. So don't worry. Nothing important. I mean, I was really just recapping what Old Man Arif was saying from a player's perspective, you know, recapping on, you know, where are we at and what happened. I'm sure if they're listening to this episode, they've listened to episodes before. We'll see what we can't do in the video and audio world to fix that in post. But for right now, during the live stream, apologies, but we're back. We're up and running. And things will hopefully go smoothly. Yes, from here on out, maybe, if I'm lucky. So anyway, Vex, you had lost your hand 10 years ago.
Had
I? Thought it was perhaps a miracle for asthma or a dream that, you know, when you came to your senses after that robbery and they cut it off, that your hand had magically grown back, or perhaps it was, you know, but off you went. To Sothis, spent 10 years there, and now have returned, registered, and are the last remaining active Night Whisperer. Going, well, leaving the infirmary after Old Man Arif gives you sort of a clean bill of health, but inquires to your whereabouts and your plans. Old Man Arif, you're still haunted by the visions you had a few days ago. You're still convinced that this man is somehow connected to you or to your past, and would likely probably want to keep an eye on him. Sure enough, as predicted, he goes to the registry to find out what has happened of his companions.
Yep.
Rumors, more than official documents, because people don't come up going, I've left town, or I'm dead in an alley, you know, that sort of thing. They don't have much. They've vanished. You do find the young female paladin, who, still saying a clerical error, does not wish to go back, doesn't want to have anything to do with you guys after one of your member had defaced the monument, and you'll just have to, you know, pick up whoever's left. A local knowledge check from you, sir.
Skills. That will be your raw off my intelligence. 4.
Okay. You ask around a couple hours, but no sign of anyone.
What about the paladin who they arrested?
The paladin had... Oh, you mean the android?
Yeah.
Oh, well...
I'm sure that Arif would know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant... leading on the, you know, the active members that could be still... Oh, they're adventuring without me? You're aware that you're ill. Oh. You're aware the paladin was arrested for defacing, but still carrying the name. Sorry, I didn't mean to make that unclear. Still carrying the name and possibly adventuring and looting without you were 2.5 more members, but they've vanished. There's been no word of them. Perhaps they've disappeared in there and never came back, you know. However.
So while I'm at the registry, I'll re-register.
Sure. Well, the thing is, you still carry the name. They haven't come out, but they do give people several days. Like, they'd give you 5 days to make contact before they assume the worst and just give the site away.
Okay.
To someone. So you're there, you're assuring them, no, we're here. Reform, whatever. So perhaps you should go talk to the paladin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I should do. He might know what happened to my hand.
Okay. He is, under guard and is being attended, strangely enough, by a female priestess of Wajet. You have knowledge of religion, sir?
I don't.
Okay. You can tell by her flowing blue and white garb, like as opposed to the black and formal garments that the Phrasmites favor, but she seems a little out of place.
But who knows? Maybe I'll have a strike of inspiration. 19. Knowledge religion.
Okay. The ancient goddess, one of the old Assyrian gods, goddess of the river and life, as opposed to, well, I guess strikes a stunning silhouette here in the temple of fate and death.
Yeah, that's a bit backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like floral butterfly covered robes surrounded by a bunch of acolytes wearing black and drab grays.
Exactly. Anyway, she notices you come in and you see the paladin is laid out, you know, sort of eyes closed. Anyway, she sees you, she comes over, and she asks you politely, you know, are you here to see him? Are you a friend, a companion?
In a manner of speaking, this was part of my hastily slept together party for exploring the ruins.
But apparently he went mad and climbed a monument and tried to kill me, and I'm just trying to figure out if maybe he stole my hand. And I hold my stump up.
Okay. I see. Well, she explains quickly several things to you. First, she introduces herself as a priestess of Wadjet, but doesn't give a name, doesn't get into her interest or whatever, right? She just kind of steps away and she says, he is awake, but I must caution you. He has little memory of his past or the events that has transpired. And is, she chooses her words carefully. Looking, then she sort of eyes you suspiciously, almost in a, let's say, sense motive kind of way, wondering how, you know, how much you could be trusted.
Okay.
She leans in and says, he is sacred to us, being born of the river. Several of my order saw him emerge as if birthed from the river.
That there, is very strange.
There is a prophecy. But, she says, you do not strike me as someone that would burden yourself overly with, shall we say, religious matters. So I will leave you to your friend. And she
Thank
just,
you very much.
She just exits.
And I approach.
Okay.
I don't even know if I got his name.
You guys were calling him Ren.
Ren, that's right.
It's actually like an ID number. It was like requisite engineer droid. So, you know, when they just started calling him Ren for short. And was on. It was one of those cute little misunderstandings where he registered his name, and then the acolyte and cleric just kind of looked at it, tried to read it back in Osirian, and it just kind of came out Ren. And he's like, "That's fine, you know." So they've just been calling him Ren or Hey You or Hey Paladin, right? Sorry, not Hey Paladin. His vocation, you guys assumed, was some sort of warrior with his perfectly formed banded mail, large, dangerously magical shield and sword that he carries. But he carries no religious symbols. Anyway, the man has been stripped of his armor, and the shield and everything, all of his gear, are not in this room. The man wears, again, very high-quality stitched-together undergarments, you know, like a simple t-shirt, and, you know, stuff that you would wear under armor. Right. And then there's the padding, there's the padding and stuff. But for comfort, he's just been kind of stripped to his skivvies because it's like jammies. Right.
Yep.
Anyway, the man is laying there awake. His pale skin and his veins, you can see like blue greenish veins that you would see on a pale northerner sometimes through their skin. Right. Are almost glowing. You don't know if this is from a magical treatment or what's going on. They sparkle occasionally, but not so much. Not so much that you're taken aback. I mean, being a Suli and having an electrical energy within you is being part of your nature that, you know, to be sort of more than human, you know, is the norm for you. Anyway, he sits there, or so lies there, eyes flare open and regards the ceiling, blinks twice, and then just sort of slowly turns his head to regard you. And perhaps what the woman said is right. He does not see, you don't see recognition in his eyes. He just, his eyes start wavering back and forth like he's searching your face for some sort of meaning. But he doesn't say anything.
Hello, my friend. Where are you, my friend? The wise man Erif tells me you tried to kill me. What is the meaning of this?
I am not sure. I do not recollect any of this.
The man's voice is the same, but his speech pattern is very different. He seems very uncertain. He has sort of a rehearsed or scripted manner of speaking, like someone is reading a play as opposed to someone just reacting to you with thoughts or whatever comes to mind. Perhaps he's trying to translate your language because his voice is slow, measured, and again, the uncertainty in his eyes and his voice... I don't know if you want to sense motive. That's, that kind of thing is, you know, hard to fake. Maybe he's a really good actor.
You know? Sure.
I mean, the sort of waking up and I have lost my memory, so I don't
natural
face,
one.
I don't face the charges. Or, you know, that's an old shtick, right? But you don't sense any deception. Can I have a perception check, though?
Yes, yes, you can. 7.
You are alone in the room, and the man seems to, you know, need more prodding to respond. He just seems lost in his thoughts and staring at you as if trying to remember something.
Well, I have no recollection of what happened myself. I am going on the hearsay of others. But our adventuring party has been disbanded.
Blowing your perception, unknownst to you, loitering in the hallway, you know, hanging on your every word, conveniently, the old man that's been attending you sort of briskly enters the room, possibly offering an explanation.
Yes, well, the explanation seemed to escape me right now, having please, continue.
Okay. Arif, you've been eavesdropping, hence the perception check, right?
Uh-huh.
One man's in a fever and just suddenly got better and has little recollection the last 3 days, and the new man claims to completely have amnesia. Now, three things you know. First, when word got out of his arrest a day later, priests of Wadjet showed up, smoothed things over, paid charges or fines or whatever so he wasn't like thrown in jail or whatever, and paid for his upkeep to be made better. They wanted to take him, but the Phrasmic priests wouldn't have it, you know, till things were sorted out, until he was, you know, able to answer for crimes or explanation, whatever. So anyway, they've been at his bedside, one after another, watching over him alongside the priestess as sort of a representative. They claim to have an interest in him. They've been paying for his bill, you know, for the medical treatment, everything he's getting. Yesterday he woke and apparently had no memory. And now, you know, the church is deliberating on what to do with him. Do we just let him go? Is the money the Wadjet's putting up enough for, you know, what he did defacing the spire? You know, if only he had a sponsor or someone that would, you know, speak for him or go with him, you know, next time, if he just ventured back in.
Well, yes. I mean, the priest of Wadjet, clearly he's important to them, but I see no reason why we should be responsible for detaining him. So, as far as I'm concerned, he's free to go if he wishes to leave. But just out of personal interest, I would absolutely follow along.
Okay.
As long as it were safe enough for me to do so.
Okay. Well, you overhear the men are trying to piece together the events of the last 3 days, which actually, even though you're an outsider, no more than they seem to remember. The arrest, you stopping the fight, the man with the glowing shield seemed intent on Vex, maybe some kind of strange magical electrical discharge or energy magic was going to fry his own companions. You know, the paladin was very upset that he defaced the spire, had everybody arrested. You had everybody stand down. She was practically ready to like go toe to toe sword with him. The second thing was the man didn't draw a weapon. He has a big sword, but he never drew it to defend himself. He never drew it. He was intent on whatever magical effect the shield was about to produce and seemed very sad, resigned to do it. But he was going to do something weird and something no one else could sort of spellcraft or figure out. Then he collapsed or, you know, was knocked out.
Or,
you know, the cat. Then the cat, you know, there's the cat and the druid and everybody got together and, you know, it's kind of thing. Join the Night Whispers. And a whole bunch of stuff that happened without your knowledge because of a fall.
So I will kind of relay the story to both parties as best as I remember.
Okay.
And then just add in, it seems that, you know, the crux of all this lies inside the old city. Perhaps you should start your searches there for answers.
Would you be willing to take it upon yourself to possibly, you know, like sponsor them, clear the name, that type of thing?
Well, absolutely. I mean, because now I am as intrigued as they are.
Okay.
So I will go through the necessary steps to make sure that they are allowed to leave unmolested.
Okay.
If they have gear possessions, you know, that they are returned. And then I say, yes, let's go.
Okay. Matt? Vex?
It does seem to be the appropriate place to go. I'm very, very confused, though. My hand is still missing. What? What is the meaning of this?
Well, that hand has clearly been gone a while. I don't know if you'll find...
My friend, when I met you the other day, did I not have two hands?
Oh, like, look at... Wave them back and forth. One stump.
Two hands. Very hold the hard. Stump.
Hold the stump and kind of tap the end. This is not normal. No. If you say your hand was there a few days ago, and I say this is some time of healing, perhaps we're both correct. Who knows?
But I agree with you, wise one. I believe the place to start would be inside the ruins. Friend, looking down at Ren on the cot, would you be interested in joining us to perhaps find some answers for your own memory losses?
Yes. That would be the correct course of action. And at that point, Ren will just sit up, stand up and just start walking out.
Yep. You are detained by guards and such, and you can imagine, you know, pushing the story forward with some diplomacy from Old Man Arif, if you please. The priestesses of Wadjet aren't like rich, but they have tried to, you know, offer gold as well as, you know, making amends. And Arif,
24 on the diplomacy.
You know, being a visiting scholar, not Osirian, but Katapesh, which apparently is a neighboring country, is revered in his age and knowledge enough that, as long as, you know, he's under your watch and promises not to do any trouble or anything. However, they would like to keep the shield for study. If he specifically went in there claiming now to have no memory, if these memories were to return, and he had this strange item with him, they fear that he would break one of the three sacred laws, defacing the place. So they'll give him back his weapon, they'll give him back his armor, they'll give him back his gear, but they will not return his shield. And if you're willing to be, you know, responsible for him, and the fact that, like, we won't blame you, Era, for what he does, but if he kind of, you know, flicks a switch and goes back to his old behavior, it's up to you to find a way to stop him.
Well, of course. I mean, I don't want to see any mayhem happen from this, you know, slight sojourn into the city, but I am as eager to get answers as they are now. I agree that the shield may trigger some type of response, so it may be best just to keep it here for now.
Okay. Now, they are willing to allow him to, you know, to see it, if you think this is wise, Arif, like to let him see it, touch it, see if it brings anything back, you know. He seems accustomed to the armor. The man, without any modesty, just, you know, when you guys give back his stuff, wherever that is, he just starts putting it on. And he seems to be knowledgeable about how to wear this specific type of armor. He just starts slapping it on, dressing it quite proficiently. You know, he's not picking up pieces and trying to remember scratching his head on how to wear it or is it have any significance. It immediately fits him, and he immediately just starts strapping it all on. And in quite short order, he is fully armed, clothed, and equipped. You know, he does take a cursory search of the bag, of his pack and stuff that he has, and it's not like he's trying to make sure everything's there. He does actually examine each piece. This is okay, I own this, you know, another piece, I own that, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to glaring at it for a long time trying to get it to trigger a memory, or seeing if he does sort of remember going, hey, you know, where's my action figures, you know, that kind of thing. You guys stole from me. He just seems to take inventory of his own inventory systematically, put his stuff on, and then again, if you guys stop him, you know, wishes to leave.
Well, in his, seeing his enthusiasm towards leaving, I'll place my stump on his shoulder. Slow down, my friend. This good man has given his word. Perhaps you should follow him rather than taking the lead. And I indicate towards Master Arif.
Very well.
Okay. With your reformatted parameters, I would like to explain something, shall we say, quickly. How does someone just suddenly, you know, lose a memory? Like fever can claim quite a few things, can claim a man's memories, can claim, you know what I'm saying? Like, can scramble a guy's brain. But what I'm talking about is something that I think you know that we've been hinting about from the last session. So unbeknownst to the players, unbeknownst to the characters, but beknownst, yeah, I can make that a word, to the actual audience, a short while ago, 1, 10, 100, 100,000, and constantly replicating nanites took hours and hours to cross the infirmary floor, climb up a bed, and home in on the electrical computerized signals as they are programmed to do and seek out technology. The only technology in the room...
They picked up his Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, there you go. Hotspot, head right for it. Entering the ear, entering pores... I mean, he might be a synthetic being, but he's put together as practically an exact replicant or duplicant of a human being. He doesn't have blood, but he does have fluids that run through him for cooling systems and doing certain functions. He, his
skin and everything are, like I said, are either synthetically grown or like of a synthetic material, but poke, react, and feel like real tissue. He has real muscles, although synthetically grown and not maybe of like beef or muscle tissue. You know, do you guys remember Bishop from Aliens 2 when they cut him open and he's just all white inside? But those were like functioning organs and everything, you know. I would assume that in this state, possibly a reinforced skeletal structure. No, I'm not covering you in amantium. Don't get excited there, Aiden. No Wolverine claws for you. But if someone were to cut you in half, they would, you know, there would be questions. And then doing what they do, entering, taking over, you know, replicating. Were they successful? Did they corrupt you? I mean, the original mission for Ren was to destroy these things because they are what? Missing, not wanting to get out, a bad mistake someone's trying to cover up. Who knows? But whatever influence they currently hold over you before your immune system wiped them out, or are they ever growing? Like a virus, like a fever, and it's only a matter of time before they completely corrupt your system. I'll tell you this. It forced a reboot, a reformat of the drive, and you cannot recall data. I'm not saying it's gone, but it's all corrupted, and your memory receptors inside your cortex do not want to fish this out for fear of contaminating and corrupting basic systems. So corrupted data, don't touch it, is basically, you know. And yeah. And your systems do know that this is memory data, so they don't just want to delete it, start over. So I really shouldn't use the term reformat, but a reboot, definitely. So you know what you are. You know what you can do. You know some core elements, but you are a factory Dell off the line, you know, brand new, have not installed any apps, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you do have your basic combat, your basic skill sets, your interaction, you speak, you know, languages, and you're designed, you're a learning computer. You're designed to observe and learn exceptionally rapidly. So, some things had stayed in proportion. You're already on the way to gaining the knowledge, the common knowledge of the common language, and modern Osirian are well on your way. I won't have him roll anymore for like, oh, 50% of the message, 30% of the message, you know. Even though you were like in REM sleep or whatever, the processor is still running and you've listened to every conversation, all kinds of stuff. And again, your CPU is putting together, amassing a lot of the language. You may not be up on the slang. You may not be up on a lot of the, you know, common terms. So by all means, speak alien, speak foreign, have a foreign mindset for this character. But to really push that you are not the man you were, Ren is now being played by Aiden Willems and not Ryan Messina until possibly such time that he might remember who he is and what he's doing here. But for right now, gentlemen, the adventure awaits. How would you go back into, you know, reasserting yourselves as a party? Arif, would you register as part of this party, or are you just an observer?
Well, it seems only proper that we go through all the channels as everyone else. So, yes, we would have to, I would think, re-register. But, you know, me having some say in how those processes are completed gives us a slight advantage if we've missed any time dates.
Okay. No, you, I mean, you do know that any site that's given to a name, they have 6 days. And if you don't hear from them in 6 days, six sunrises and six sunsets, as it were, then, you know, they'll assume that they've all been wiped out. Or if the party comes back going, no, we're done, you know, we've depleted too many members, that kind of thing, right? Then the site will be given away. If an adventuring party comes out with too few members, like only one or two, and even though they go, hey, we have claim on this, but we can't find anyone, it might be a too bad situation. It might be, I'm sorry, your party must dissolve and you must re-register under a different adventuring party, and you're going to join them and they will be given your plot site, you know, that kind of recycle, you know, so you're still in on the treasure of the place, you know, but, you know, that kind of thing.
I'll just make sure that we've got all of our little I's dotted and T's crossed. And then while I'm doing that, I can probably gather up any gear or things like that they would normally move around in. Then we'll head out.
All right. Barely registering the minimum number at 3. You head out, and an interesting sight is greeting you on the steps of the Grand Mausoleum. A respectful distance away, where the crowds, you know, go back and forth between the mausoleum and the Golden Pond. The Golden Pond is full of albino white crocodiles. Kind of interesting. They are attended. Can I have a knowledge local, guys?
Absolutely, yes.
5.
26.
They are attended, Arif, by the young priestess Septi's brother, Neb At. And I will just show you him here now. This man is in charge of the crocodiles and can be seen feeding them, looking after them, you know, that kind of thing. You've heard word around the temple that he's linked to some, shall we say, you know, underhanded dealings with the guards and around town. But a lot of it is just rumor and gossip. Because it's the priestess's brother, the gossip actually comes into the temple. You know, street thugs and gangs and members and stuff, that they wouldn't talk about that in the temple. But because it's her brother, and there's some belief that he is actually linked to the criminal underworld, it becomes gossip around the temple that you've picked up on.
All right.
This is what you expect to find. What you actually find are half a dozen priestesses and a priest of Wajet, all lined up along the Golden Lake, all reverently bowing towards us as we descend the stairs. They don't approach. They just, it's like a whole bunch of Japanese businessmen that are lined up at the airport. You come up and you go right by them, and they all happily, businessly bow and greet you, and you get into the limo that drives off, and they're just there for show or a sign of respect or something. And like I said, they don't block your path to the gates where you're headed. If anything, they're on the riverside. And like I said, there's a half a dozen of them. You guys come out, and they pointedly show you respect as you guys descend. Like, you know, this graceful bow is for you.
A little unusual, I would suspect, but I'll take what I can get.
Okay. Can I have a perception from you three, you gentlemen?
Yerp. Let's see.
11.
Okay. They are mumbling and whispering something, almost like a chant, but you can't quite make it out what it is. Ren? Vex with 8 as well. They are, and if they're praying or chanting, it is obvious that they are sort of a rhythmic speech going on, so it's probably some kind of a chant. Arif.
I got a 27 perception.
They are mouthing the word and repeating it reverently. Ren, 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 Ren. And they bow. And they praise Wajet, you know, Ren, Ren, pray. And the priest on the end, praise Wajet, you know, and the girls are all like, Ren, Ren, you know. It's almost like the star quarterback coming out, and the cheerleaders are going, this is our guy, this is our guy, you know. Da, 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 you know. So now we realize that this parade is not for you. Oh, well.
We had a good run.
I thought you were being upgraded from a lone drone to a doctor, like, hey, look at this, you know.
I matter.
Of course you
I'm
do.
Important. Just not to these people. As we move on, I'll move up to Ren and say, you've managed to accrue quite a following in your short time here. It's very interesting.
Okay. Couple things to you, Ren. These are obviously a cult religious order, quaint to a planet. Very small following, very archaic, and you have no idea the reason why they would all be lined up, and the old man claiming that they're here for you, specifically. Nothing clicks, nothing, no memory. Now, you do know that a priestess of Wajet was one of the first people that spoke to you amongst the priestess of Pharasma. Explained, you know, what am I doing? All those questions, who am I? What am I doing here? All that stuff has already been covered in the last 3 days during your reboot, and they don't really have answers. But the priestess of Wajet said, you came from the river, and we are river priestesses. And it is our goddess's will that we care for anyone stranded upon the riverbanks. And they do. They have a thing where wandering priests of Wajet can be found along the river, helping travelers and people from crocodile attacks. It's part of their dogma. It's part of that, you know, medical field program they got going. And for some reason, they've twisted this into, well, because you're having a bath one day, or, you know, we didn't see you go in the water, but when you came out, mightily emerging in this awesome male, you're just, you know, they just think you're the bomb. Does not make sense. At least not to your programming. Your gut tells you that drawing attention to yourself is not a good idea. for some reason, your basic programming is sort of like, it's not like stealth, like you're an engine, you have to go anywhere. But proclaiming yourself and your intentions and your programming of whatever your function and mission might come up to be doesn't seem to jazz with like having an entourage and a parade and, you know, being hoisted around a van going, you know, Ren, 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 you know, becoming some kind of iconic religious figure. Doesn't seem to be anywhere in your programming. So I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but it's certainly not something that, you know.
Yeah, that sits right. Yeah. Interesting.
Moving along, I'll kind of hustle the other two kind of past the priestesses and down the road. No sense in dallying.
Quite. I need to pick up a shield first before we enter.
Of course. So I will try to steer us towards the nearest little like arms and armor dealer so that can be picked up. I assume that these shops and things would be most closest located to the entrance of the old city there. It makes sense. As adventurers come in and out, they would buy and sell things.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner the better. So we'll make our way that way.
Sure. Can I have a knowledge local from Frank and Vex?
Yeah.
7.
18 knowledge local.
Okay. Arif, you're steering them towards Carnival. Way overpriced. Oh, it's convenient. You want a shield? Sure, but you're going to pay 10 times the price. Like I said, this place has turned into a festival and everything is over. You know what I mean? They're really milking the adventurers. If you want to give them a deal, you need an establishment, like an actual hut or something that's been selling all the time. Sure, the prices might be a bit jacked, but these guys that pull a wagon from the doors going, buy my stuff? You know, it's basic quality stuff at inflated prices. If time's an issue, sure. But you guys would be paying through the nose for a shield. If you have time to, you know, explore elsewhere, you could probably get a much better deal here in the city, but not at, you know, not with all these hawkers and wares going, oh, yeah.
Nah, we're just going to head right there.
Okay.
It's not my money.
Yeah, all right. So what kind of shield interests you, Ren? Large steel? Power, yes. Yeah, okay. These archaic people do not have any power armor shield.
No, I said
shield.
Tower shield.
Oh, tower shield.
Power.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
With a T.
Sorry, I thought you said power shield. I was like, oh, yeah, there you go. This will fit nice with your mecha. No, sorry. Yes. Quite the imposing figure now, carrying sort of a tower shield that's made here, the old feral style with the big sort of round nib in the center, dark black with like sort of a bronzish gold trim, you know. And are you interested in, I guess the generic tower shield in this is like metal.
Yes.
Anyway, you examine it. It's basic quality. It's not shoddy or broken. It's not masterwork by any means. It's functional. And you believe, you know, with your system memory that you are fully proficient in using it. You're good to go.
Yes. And as I attach it to my forearm, it feels comfortable. It feels right.
Okay.
A little bit lighter than I'm used to, but...
Okay. That'll be 5 times the price.
And I'll hand over the gold.
Okay. You don't have gold.
Okay, then.
Seriously, man, you came here a complete package out of a pod. You walked around, you know, you had, like, no currency, you know.
Hearing the price, obviously, yeah. Vex would take a front to it.
Sure.
And using his slickest diplomacy skills.
Okay.
Of 24. Surely, my friend, the time for these kind of price gouging is way past. The event has started. You're just trying to move this old stock out before you leave your stall.
Oh, you offend Adil. No, you don't understand. It is all about availability and... What's the word I'm looking for? I forgot. Demand. And these are highly unavailable in the region and in very high... This type of production in very, very high demand. Not to mention the convenience of my location. All these have to be factored in. I think that... I tell you what, since you are a local boy... Because you actually are obviously Osirian.
Yep.
You know, this is 4 times the price.
Well, I tried. What's 4 times the price?
A lot.
How much is a lot?
I was just kind of going for like a generic idea of the rate of gouging as opposed to an actual gold piece.
Tower shields are normally 30 gold.
Ooh. Yeah. So he wants like 100 gold for. Yeah, he wants like 120 gold. You're like, no. He's like, okay, 90. We're to 90, you know. No.
Well, my friend, I personally know in this town a place I can get it for much less. Thank you for your time.
and I just walk out.
Okay.
I'll unstrap the shield.
Okay.
Place it back on the.
All right. So as you are taking it off, he passively aggressively switches to the hard self of soft selling. It's too bad, such quality of merchandise. Anything across town, you'll find, you know, probably very shoddy and worn. This is brand new. It came from the capital of Sulfitz itself. Actually, was once owned but never used by one of the Crimson Guard themselves. But I'm sure if you want some parts, piece of wood or chunk of something to, you know, to get skewered through, that's your choice. I mean, sure, you can't put a value on life. And he takes it back and just kind of leaves you with that, you know, ominous. If you want the boy's junk, sure. I won't see you tomorrow.
Ren was not listening.
Okay.
After his companion was like, we can find one at a better price. Just gone.
Okay. So you stop guys, can I have a knowledge local for said idea of where to go?
12.
Yeah, well. If we, let's pull up the old map here. You guys see this?
Nope. Oh, wait. Yep.
Okay. Drawing your attention to the Ass District, location 21 on the far right, or in this case, I believe what is south, because the whole city, even though it's like a north to south viewing,
the compass.
Yeah.
The cardinals indicate a different direction.
Exactly. So north is on your left towards the river. And south is on your right. Now, Wati sits right at the crux of two rivers. The Sphinx River goes from the inner sea at the capital of Sothis. It passes the capital of Sothis. They built canals cutting a couple miles in so it doesn't flood. And then way upriver, where this river splits, the River Sphinx splits into the Crux and Asp River, Wati sits right on the southern bank. And so it faces north. And if you look over here at Area 21... on the edge of Ye Olde Town here, okay, we find an actual, you know, barter shop.
And that's where we go.
Okay.
Huzzah! Onward, companions.
I don't see a key. I'm just, like, looking at the key, and it's like, hey, let's see if we can't pull up the actual shop here. Nope. All right, so just quickly allowing me to let's just go specifically into AP art. Nope, that's not going to work. Okay, how about handouts? Well, nope.
As we're walking there,
sure.
Ren will ask, so what is the currency for the local area?
Oh, here we go. This is a lovely map. Look at this one. Right, it's a right upsy-daisy. So you guys have that. So the Grand Mausoleum is the large building in the center in front of the square rectangular swimming pool, the Golden Pond. And you guys head south, winding through the streets all the way out to practically like the road here. And you see the road that's exiting to the south?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, along the right side of it is a splattering of light buildings, and then there's two brownish buildings. The larger one is an actual trading post. Sorry, pray continue. Chat as you walk.
I'll tell them what the currency we use is denominated by the value of the metal itself it's fashioned from. This shouldn't be anything new to you, though. I'm sure you use similar coinage. It's all basically the same, just different stampings.
Okay.
And then as we move through the city, I'll point out little shops and random pieces of worthless trivia.
Okay. On your way there, there's the Hall of Blessed Rebirth, where a bunch of midwives will, you know, it's like a clinic. We'll get that baby out in no time flat. that's number 9 on the map there.
The Wati baby mill.
Yeah, something like that. So down here, we finally come upon Turk's Fine Expeditions is the name of the trading post.
Turk's Fine Expeditions. Okay.
Yep.
Do I know Turk?
Yeah, actually, he's a street thief from 10 years ago. I mean, he might not recognize you, but there's a good possibility. It's right on the edge of town. Like,
and and by the way, as I'm traveling, I am keeping my stump tucked into my robes.
Okay.
Because I understand the ramifications of a thief who's missing a hand.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hide the missing hand. Very edge of town. After walking through the Asp district, where, you know, you guys are getting eyeballed by the poor and the sleazy and whatever, you get to the this part of town, there are adventurers coming and going, and it has a real frontier feel to it because the desert, like the open desert, is right there. The wind blows, and you can hear it and feel the hot desert sand and wind blowing past the open windows of it, this low mud-slung building that has more of a curtain and a bead doorway than any or open air. You know, now it's much cooler inside, but it really has that sort of frontier, you know, last stop or first stop, you know. Anyway, there in the shop, behind a massive desk or like counter, this place is littered like a home hardware. Like, it's just every available space is racks and shovels and ropes and weapons and just everything you could think of. And a lot of this stuff looks used. Like, he's traded it from other adventuring parties, or, you know, he's imported some stuff. It doesn't look like bad stuff. It just, a lot of this stuff looks worn. But there is some new stuff as well. Anyway, he's conversing rather gruffly with a dwarf in common, and sees you guys and nods, you know, like nods a welcome. Large half-orc, middle-aged, and finishes up with the dwarf. I guess the dwarf didn't get the deal he wanted, or, you know, is bartering about the quality. And the final words is, "You can take it, or you can leave it. Just saying." And the dwarf just kind of harumps and take, you know, forks over the money and takes the dagger and the sheath from the counter and marches out with a nod to you guys. A moment passes. The large half-orc stands up, leaning off the counter, puts his hands on his helps. "Well, I don't think I've seen you lot before. Welcome to Turk's Fine Expeditions. What I might interest you fine gentlemen into today." He's just looking at each one of you in turn.
Looking for a tower shield.
Ah. Shields are in the back. Last row. Anything else? You know, looking at the young man or the old man.
"Well, now that I am here, perhaps there are some things I could look at."
And I'll wander down the aisles looking at, like, I don't know, tomb exploring stuff, rope, whatever.
Okay. Can I have a knowledge local to see if you actually remember, like, now you're face to face with this guy?
Natural 20.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Turk's a good guy. He always had a thing for the barmaid that's now proprietor of the Whispering Stone. 10 years ago. Don't know if that's gone anywhere, but 10 years ago, he was always going, he would close up and he'd go there and he would drink there and he would be their best patron and, you know, spend his money there and always, you know, be as nice and as less gruff as he could in front of, you know, Miss Thing. He's aged a bit, you know, there's a bit of gray in the hair or whatever, but the guy is solid and scarred and everything you'd expect a big half-orc to be. Rather untemperamental for his race. Like, his temper is pretty keel. You're going to be in the service business. Like, he doesn't put up with shit, you know. But I'll tell you this, there was an incident, not you, but one of your young street friends got caught stealing. And this guy immediately grabbed the kid, hoisted him up, like, by the hand and held the hand, picked the kid up squirming at arm's length and held a blade to it and asked why he should not cut the kid's hand off. You know, kids are crying, freaking out, kid's worming, kicks him in the face a couple times. It's like, "Are you done? You know, last chance, kid, give me a good reason." So the kid actually says, "You know, I'm trying to feed my little sister or whatever." And he's like, "Fine, next time, if I catch you stealing again, I'll cut both your hands off as a suspended sentence. Now get out of here. Don't come back unless you have money." But he let the kid off. He didn't cut off his hand, where most merchants would chop guard, you know, scared the shit out of the kid. Gave him a worse threat. "If you steal in my store again, guess what's going to happen to you? I'll take both your hands and you'll really be screwed." But firm but fair.
Okay.
Dude hasn't changed a bit. Looked around. You look at these prices. "Sure, I'm not going to take 30 gold pieces for a tower shield. I want 40. But the worn one, that's only worth 15. I'll take 20. You know, kind of like the prices are what you'd expect. You know, he's going to capitalize on the boon, but he doesn't look like he's gouging too badly.
Okay.
From, you know, the sticker prices you see around on this and that, you know. Gummy bear.
Tell me, my friend, it has been many, many years since I have been in your fine establishment. Did you ever get anywhere with that barmaid?"
He's kind of taken back. "You mean Blossom?
Yes, yes, the beautiful one.
He strokes his chin. Aye, she's that. We've been seeing each other on and off for over a year now, I'd like to say. But this is not your common kind of gossip.
My friend, I was born in this town. I spent many nights sleeping on the street town. I have a recollection of you.
In the Asp district, he says, looking at your common clothing.
I slept where I could. Well, wherever the guards would not wake me up in the middle of the night, anyways.
Sorry, kid, don't recognize you. Everyone kind of looks the same through these bleary eyes, but I'll tell you what. If you and your friends each buy a decent item, I'll give you a group discount.
Oh, you are too kind. You are too kind, my friend.
Just saying.
I'll go grab a coil of rope.
Okay.
And a 10-foot pole. Sorry.
It's all right. He just nods. Solid choice.
And a crowbar.
Yeah. How about you, Father? Padre? What do we call a Phrasmic priest? How about you, Padre? I don't know. I got this Western frontier blowing wind music going. He's like, how about you, Padre?
I pick up this decent-sized crowbar.
Yes.
It's opening things.
Great. Yeah, good. Doubles as a weapon. Should really value it more than its price. I mean, you swing that at anything, goes crunch and squish, but technically not classified as a weapon, so I can't price it as one. I have to price it as gear. So, yeah, good. Anyway, you guys are laying this stuff on the table. Meanwhile, the back of the store, Rin has gone off to inspect shields, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Tower shield is not your common shield. He has bucklers, he has small shields, some wooden, he has some couple large shields. And the bigger the shield and more metal the shield gets, the rarer, the more expensive, and the fewer. So, he said shields plural, like hoping maybe you'll pick something, whether he has a tower or not. So I'm going to give a percentage chance here that he even has one. Oh, he does. Look at that. 16%. I can say I was going to give him a 20% chance he actually has a tower shield. So, yeah, he does. It's used. You know, has some scratches on it, but it doesn't look that old. It definitely looks like it's in solid condition.
Right.
And it looks like it's seen battle. It has authentic battle damage. There's an ever so slight dent at a top corner kind of thing, but you can see how the metal is deflected and not really caved, like, you know, proof that it's doing its job kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll grab that one, and then because, you know, actually thinking about price, I have some coins in my bag, but they're not of, well, you know, this plane, but I don't know the difference. So I'm going to grab a large wooden shield as well.
Well, the idea that this is a trading post, like he will barter trade, he will take something for something, or he will, you know, buy goods, give you money, and then go, here, go spend it in the store, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you can get frequent tech points, you know, here at my store. Terek. T-E-R-H-K. Terek. Terek's Fine Expeditions. Here at Terek's Fine Expeditions, we take, you know, barter and trade with everything. But of course, if you trade something, if you trade a 2-gold piece dagger, he's only going to give you a gold for it. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah.
So always wins.
But yeah, so do you have anything of value or that you would think he would find valuable that you'd be willing to trade?
Not really.
Well, you are aware of the concept of what you are and that you are on a distant world, and the archaic people might find shiny things that you find mundane very valuable. The craftsmanship that goes into your mundane gear is like masterwork items to them. I won't give you necessarily a masterwork bonus, but because the way it's built finally seemed as great, but it's not considered masterwork bonus because it's plastic, or, you know what I mean? It doesn't hold up to the same standard in a dungeon giving you a +2 to a tool. You see what I'm saying? So, but have you got anything in your gear list or anything you think you could possibly cash in on? Then, yeah, by all means.
I could give him like my, my artisan outfit. But literally that's it, Jeff.
Okay.
Like, paladins don't get a lot, and it was spent on Band of Mail Longsword Tower Shield. You took my Tower Shield, so I need to get one back.
Okay.
So.
But you get to play an android in a D&D campaign, so I think there's a bit of a trade-off. So anyway, gentlemen here at the front, is there anything you want to talk to Tarek about while you're waiting for a buddy to make his choice in the back? Any questions or, you know,
I'm just gonna try to diplomance him to see if we can get a better deal, because it seems like we're paying a little on the high side.
Yeah, well, he said something of Vex about a group discount, so you want to maybe hammer out what that is.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say collectively, you know, he's taking an extra, a good 25%, where most goods are like 50 to 70% marked up. He's only asking for an additional 25% on each item, hence the 15 to 20 gold, you know, that kind of thing. So if you guys, you know, like I said, if you guys each buy something, what do you got there, Diplomancer?
23 diplomacy.
Okay. And what's your spiel?
I'll aid him on that. See if we can bump
sure.
him up.
What are we going to play an angle here?
Just say that, well, you know, one thing that adventurers like is the sweetened deal. So if we do things like this, that encourages return business. Yes. How often would it be that people that discover things go back to their favorite trader? Yes. Something to think about. Establish yeah. relationships early on.
Yeah, I've heard this before. Which came in
here? I got
here,
a 28.
Which came in here during the pilot, and it was like she offered to shout my praises to the high heavens and drag people in here. Never saw her again. And no, that was no dice. What do you got there?
I tell you what, my friend. How about this?
Well, clearly I'm not her.
Erif, allow me.
And I'll
allow
kind
me.
Of hold my arms out.
Okay.
Dissing. Yeah. How about her?
I will give you first choice on the goods.
I'm trying, I mean.
Yeah.
I will give you first choice on the goods that we bring. We are about to explore the Forbidden City. And I will bring our goods to you first, so you can get first choice of what we find. Is that not worth some sort of value to you, my friend?
It says, I'll tell you what, between his 23, which is over 20, and your 28, which is spectacular, I'm almost thinking of dropping Blossom and, you know, playing your side of the field. Having a representative of the church, shall we say, endorse my shop would be of some value to me. Having, shall we say, you bringing everything here for my first pick before anything makes it worth anything makes its way to the church first, Padre, is definitely worth my time. So, dealing with the priest, he says, respectively, you know, dealing with the father and, you know, being on good terms, and if you could bless the shop, and, you know, he's implying, you know, dealing with a man in the cloth does have an advantage, and he would expect, you know, the blessings, the good word, all that he put in type of thing. He says, I'll go from 25% down to 10%. He says, but if you guys... bring me, you know, first pick and prove like it's got to be something good. Like, obviously, this is something you'd want to take to the church first or take somewhere else. You know what I mean? Somewhere yeah. that you guys would make more money or might get a better deal somewhere else because of where it belongs. You bring it to him. He says, I'll set you guys up like par prices, like regular prices for everything the next time, like after you do this. That witch never came back. And I'm not giving out credit. So I'll come down to 10% for whatever you buy today. For the Padre, and if you guys come back with really good stuff, like a microphone that I don't keep hitting because it's too close, then I'll sell you guys at, like, you know, practically par, like, you know, 5%. Just saying.
Very good, my friend. I believe this is perfect. Reaches out, almost reaches out with a stump and, like, stops, and then reaches out the other hand instead.
Okay. So some collective prices here. Since you guys have starting gold, and we've gone way off the rails since the beginning, and yeah, I kind of hamstringed Aiden, but he gets to play whatever. I'll say this for this one time. Like, you guys hash a deal, okay? And if you have the gold, or, you know, we'll say you afford it, but if you guys suddenly pull 150 gold, then I'm going to want, well, geez, you guys had 30 gold. You know, I want it. That kind of thing in your characters. If you guys are hoarding gold.
The store won't give us credit, but the GM will.
No, just saying. Yeah. You know, you guys collectively pool, get your...
Well, what's the price? I might be able to afford it. I hardly spent anything.
Ropes, like a gold? Maybe?
Yeah.
Right? Unless you guys want to grab crowbar.
The crowbar, the 10-foot
two,
pole.
Two or five, you know, copper pieces for the pole. You know. No, the real deal comes in the used shield, which he wants 20 gold, even though it's only worth 10 or 15. He wants 20 gold for that. And he'll knock the price to the proverbial, you know, like 18 gold plus all the other items. So deal of the day, let's say if you guys can cough up like 21 gold pieces, I'll give you the lot. Or sorry, 20 gold pieces, I'll give you the lot. So, yeah. Okay.
Done. Sold.
Wonderful.
And then I'll hand... Air of the Crowbar, good thinking with this, my friend. You never know. And then I'll hand the shield over to Ren and be like, and you, okay, my friend, you owe me. This will come out of your share. Trust me on this. Yep.
You guys have suffered greatly in our Dice Before Dishonor new social system. Back to ye old system. Yep. I'm indifferent. Okay, Arif and you guys do so well, you knock me not only to friendly, because he tries to be somewhat friendly, but to helpful. So nice. Here's the helpful. He says, are you sure you don't want to buy any shovels or excavation equipment? Trust me, these sands blow right over that 30-foot wall and can encase any door, frame, building. You'd be wading through a snowbank worth of sand, take you hours to dig it out by hand. But a couple of good shovels, sure, you may look a little silly walking through town, but trust me, they are worth 10 times their weight in gold. Just saying.
Very good advice, my friend. Grab a couple shovels and a pickaxe.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
So look at the paladin. You'll be carrying these.
Yep. Everybody gets a shovel and a hoe. There you go. Let's go.
Just toss them in the pack or straps them to the back.
Yeah, with the sword, right? So, hi-ho, you guys are ready to go? What are we doing now?
Yeah, let's go.
Hi-ho.
All right. So, heading back, back across town. Back across the city. Any last minute preparation? Any last minute places? Go. Oh yeah, of course we would have stopped there. No.
Now let's just get into it.
Okay. Middle of the morning, because no one gets up the crack of noon. You guys got up early. You did all this stuff in a couple hours, and it's still like the crack of 10 or 11. And once again, the scene rises up and swooshes GTA map style across the map and comes down on us inside the gates, standing in front of the actual Pharasmic Spire. And everybody waits. You're all looking at Ren to see if the sparks, some sort of memory, some sort of trigger, something. Ren is contemplating this tall, tall, tall obelisk with pure adamantine black starstone capping it. And you know what you remember?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. But I'll tell you this. You do feel drawn to it. Now, you know the charges were that you took climbing gear and climbed up. There's marks on the back, that kind of thing. And, there might even be some hesitation from one of our members as you are looking up and take a few direct steps towards it. Because, like I said, you do feel drawn to it.
Hurrying Ren past the obelisk, yeah, right. We move our way to our designated site.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for Arif, oh, no, go. So, gentlemen, if you head north past the well and then east past another, way back here in the back corner, can you guys see the... Actually, you know what? If we switch back to the... I know it's... maybe not prudent for location, but I can't ping on this map. So I'm going to pull up the Wati with tags. And then if I zoom in here, pull up this map again, whoop, and then zoom in, I believe 23 on the back wall there.
Okay.
Okay. So you guys have come up and gone around and way in the back, Barge Town being on the other side of the wall around the corner kind of thing.
Yep.
Way in the back there. Okay. And then I'll just pull up my regular map for all to see. So now you guys know where it is, getting back to the nicer, plainer map.
Yep.
There are adventurers, ha ha ha, Halloween, house to house like candy, the type of thing. There are watchful priests. There are territorial skirmishes between adventuring parties. The whole bit. You guys come around a corner and, you guys find a low tomb, double building, rectangle, scratches upon, as it were. I wonder if I can pull up. Okay, maybe not. I was going to say, I was wondering if there was an instant encounter for me here. So let me just go to the wonderful PDF version that I have purchased. And I actually have the book too. And we will talk about the tomb of Akhentempi. What do we know about the Tomb of Akin Tempe? Anyone?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
Knowledge roll.
Sounds like a knowledge roll, yeah.
Knowledge history?
5.
So if this is considered old Assyrian history, then I actually have 5 points higher, so 18.
Oh, really?
I got a 15, but the highest I can get is 10 because it's untrained.
Okay. And, well, considering you're off-world, I'm going to kind of give you a penalty. Like, those will be some really cool things that you can cheat and technology and use and, you know what I'm saying, with a sort of a more cosmopolitan knowledge of the world. But it's something like specific world history of one place, you're going to be pretty crippled. It's got to be -5, -10. And since we just kind of, like, wiped your mind, it's like, they didn't really give me any books to read. Not yet. Vex. Looking at 5? What am I looking at here for knowledge history?
5, yeah, straight up 5. I'm just raw rolls.
Okay. All right. What do we know about the Tomb of Temke? Military man resides in this rectangular stone mausoleum. It sits alone in what appears to have once been an actual cemetery. The trunks of a few dead trees poke out of the sand around the tomb, and a hot breeze whistles through their desiccated branches. A set of massive stone doors are affixed to the northern side of the structure, beneath a facade bearing the likeness of an Assyrian woman. Wind-blown sand has heaped around the crypt, partially burying the doors that lead within. Well, what do you know? Half-Orc was right. Within the tomb, Arif believes that Akin Tempe, a general that died, well, born in 2416 and died in 2488, 11 years before the plague of madness decimated most of the city itself. This is written, embossed, likely within the tomb when you get to him, but with your stellar role and taking interest in where the paladin was assigned to go, you either recall or have dug up this information.
Okay.
Do you guys have... can I have perception or knowledge engineering from anyone?
Perception of 23.
Okay.
Knowledge engineering, 23.
Perception of 10.
All right. Engineering tells you that the mortar and the hinge setup, the doors actually will open in, but there are no visible handles or hinges.
Well, outward.
Sorry, they swing outward, so the sand actually does block. You can't just push on them.
So I don't see any ways of gripping the doors. There's no handles or anything, but they definitely open outward. So we would be best advised to do like the orc had said and dig out.
Okay.
Perhaps then we can use the crowbar and some elbow grease there, Ren, and pry those open.
Vex. You're going to have to dig it out, and as you guys are examining the doors with your perception, you notice that there are telltale traces of mortar along the seams and jamb that have since crumbled or been chipped away, indicating that the doors were meant to be sealed permanently, and someone's had a go at trying to get in here.
So leaning in and examining it, I'll actually say that, but it looks like somebody has tried to get in here already. What is this all about? I wonder. Does it look recent?
Like... days to weeks, as opposed to like this out, you know,
like within the day that.
Yeah. No, it's been, you know, recently. Yeah. But considering this has been here for like 1,200 years, like the Plague of Madness that had this place sealed up, and this place was built like 11 years before the Plague of Madness, which is like 1,200 years old. So, you know, these scratches that are like weeks or months, you know, haven't completely faded in the chip mortar or whatever. But it's not like really recent where you get that fresh discoloration.
Yeah. Okay. Seems like somebody has been here already. Perhaps we drew a bum straw. Maybe they've already gotten the good stuff, but we can only work with what they've given us.
These doors definitely don't seem to have been opened yet. Otherwise, this sand would be here.
Somebody attempted it in the past. Not recently.
Somebody might have opened, gone in, closed, and you know, the sand's blown back in weeks or months ago.
Well, there's only one way to find out, right? Just dig this out and get open it.
Okay. Indeed, my friend. And I'll lash the shovel onto my stump and use the other hand to start digging stuff away.
Okay. Couple good half an hour more digging. and then it's time to have a go at the door. I need a strength check, gentlemen. Do I remember someone buying a crowbar?
Indeed, you did.
Why? Well, yes, he did. Oh.
Well, sure, you can have a +2 with your crowbar, but the cool thing about Adventurer's Rules is written that they overrule the rules is it's going to drop that strength check DC by 5, making it way easier to
nice.
Pop. not easy in itself, but I'm saying like the insane DC becomes almost palatable. Now you can have 2 people aiding. You can stack 3 guys on a door. So if we want to have a lead oomper with that crowbar and 2 guys assisting.
Who's got the most strength? I'm assuming Ren, but I'm actually pretty strong myself.
Yeah. Ren and Stumpy?
Who's
it going to be?
Ren and Stumpy.
Is
it wrong that I actually really like that, though?
Dude, I've been sitting on that since day one, since we cut off your hand and we decided his name was Ren, and I'm like,
Ren and Stumpy.
Ren and Excellent. Stumpy are having a go at the door.
Well, all right, Ren.
I think I'm too young for that reference, Jeff.
Really? Oh, dude, you'd love it. It's great.
Think of an adult SpongeBob. Same animation crew did, 2 dogs that can talk, and one's Mexican, and they just get up to crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway,
yeah,
gentlemen.
There's an entire episode where Stimpy's looking for a fart that can talk.
See, the thing is, the final episode date was aired 1996. I was born in 97. So, yeah.
So that legit predates you. Anyways, moving on.
Moving on.
So, you're 16, so I'm going to put you on the lead.
14.
Oh, 14? I am too. Ha ha! The one-armed man!
There you go.
It's 14 as well, so it doesn't really matter.
I will definitely attempt to aid.
I will aid as well. You're more able-bodied than I.
The character is.
Oops, that was not supposed to be a... Oh, well, plus 2. I failed in my aid.
So I got a 15 for my aid other.
Right, so aid DC is 10. So yep. Ren gets a +2. Vex...
Well, I give him a +3.
Vex failed.
Okay. Yeah, you Cloister Cleric is a cool aid another... you want to talk about that?
So actually, I'm using the helpful... from the Cloistered Cleric, you always know how best to assist your companions, be it tasks, defending them in battle, or helping them with a well-placed strike. Whenever I use the aid other, I grant a +3 instead of the usual +2.
That's cool. It's almost as cool as halfling helpful.
Yeah. This is getting to be a shtick for rollmongers here. It's like, yeah.
Aid another. Well, it makes sense. Everybody should do this.
Oh yeah, no.
Everybody should do this.
Yes, everybody should take the NPC class Cloistered Cleric.
There's only one old man Arif in our world.
The helpful trait, it's available in other methods.
Okay. Yeah. So
okay.
I'm telling you this, Stumpy may be having trouble getting this purchase on, okay? With a 20, am I looking at this right?
Yes. So that is the +2 from my strength and the additional +2 from the crowbar.
Okay. You know what? I wonder if I have...
I thought the crowbar gave you +5.
Well,
it takes 5 off the DC. We don't
as well as the +2 to your strength check.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then I gave you +3.
I have Ren in here, but he's owned by Ryan. I don't know how to switch ownership over to a different
problem. I also did a couple of changes, so I did send it to you.
Yeah, we'll upload him officially later. We kind of pulled this out of a hat today. But any chance to return to Mummy's Ask, you know I'm going to jump on it. So with all bonuses in, you got 20?
With Arif's, it's a 23.
Okay. Well, you know what? Without that crowbar, not enough. But because Arif bought a crowbar, the DC is 20, gentlemen, and you guys pry your way into the tomb.
Da, 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 ba.
Oh, yes. Got some good old feel-good music going on here. Really creepy tomb music. So, prying our way in. Let me just get this set up here. Let's pull up a map for you guys to frolic on, shall we?
Whee!
Oh, yeah. This entire map doesn't look like it's hidden. There we go. That's better. Share it with you. Okay, you guys should be looking at a black blob. But don't worry, because if I... You guys see this? Top right of the map?
Yep. I see nothing. I see Tomb of Akintepi.
Yeah, it's a blank page for me, too.
But it's a blank page for me.
Okay. Roll all the way to the right.
Top right, yeah. It's there's a lot of map here on a single page.
Okay.
Oh, wait, there it is. Okay, I found it.
Okay.
All right, found it.
I've revealed too much. So, this rectangular room is empty, save for the engravings and fixtures upon the walls. A pair of heavy stone doors to the north that you just entered, an immense stone wheel against the south wall. The air is stale, and a layer of dust and sand covers the floor. Lying in a thicker layer to the south, all four walls bear sunk relief engravings and hieroglyphs, while small stone faces are affixed to the walls at about shoulder height in each corner. The stone wheel to the south is engraved with a large spiral and is set in stone tracks that run along the floor and the ceiling. So there is like a trench, a ridge, a quite literal track in the floor and in the ceiling, so that this disc doesn't fall forward because it's jammed. You know how you put your dome door windows in? You gotta like pop them up in the hole in the top and then you click in the bottom kind of thing?
Yep. Standard circular aperture.
Yeah. We got a lot going on here. We have the way we came in. We have four corners with faces. We have a big door with a giant symbol on it. Religion, anyone?
Well, let's see what this is all about.
Indeed. First thing I will do is check for traps, because that's what I'm here for. That's my job. I'm a trap.
Sure. By all means.
Six.
Six?
Hang on just 1 second.
You know, you're allowed to take 20 if you're not threatened, you know.
On
a perception check, like if the monster was coming to the door and you got to hurry up the trap, then you get excited and rolls. But if you want to walk up to a trap and go, I think this door doesn't look right, I'd like to take 20 and take my 2 minutes, you know.
Then sure, I'll absolutely do that. I will take my time. And I won't just examine the door. I'm going to look for pressure plates on the floor, whatever. This is a tomb. I'm going to check the room.
Okay.
Just do a generalized sweep.
Leaving everybody out in the heat for a while.
Yeah. This is my job. Thank you for opening the door, my friends. Give me a moment. I will call you in when I know it is safe.
Okay. So with the 20, what's your total?
So my total would be 24.
You don't seem to find a trap.
Okay.
Love saying that. Sure, 24 sounds like you blow something out of the water, but you know, you wait. Just wait and see.
Never know.
That's right. Let's see. Okay. Find a trap.
Everything seems to be good. Come in, gentlemen. I think Old Man Erif will be particularly interested in some of the hieroglyphs on the walls.
Okay. Now, again, you say you come in, they stay behind you and let them loiter for a minute. You know, there's ambient light from outside, but it's quickly shadowed and dark. If you guys want to have a good look at the writings, you need some kind of light source.
I don't.
And I will spark up the first torch.
Okay. And a comforting symbol, the spiral of the goddess, your goddess, Phrasma herself, adorns the giant disc door spiral wheel, not barely 10, 15 feet in front of you.
Oh, this is a good sign. Phrasma leads the way.
And I'll kind of move in and see if there's anything to read. I'll, you know, kind of brush my fingertips against the walls, looking for any raised glyphs that I can try to read through and see basically what the room can tell us.
Okay. Lots in here to explore. Taking some time on the walls, because there's a lot to read. We'll say that you're set to that task. Yep. I'm assuming you're working your way from the floor up. Matt will be...
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Working your way from the floor on up. Which leaves Ren standing just inside the doorway to doing what?
Made a knowledge religion check at 19.
Okay. Yes, you do recognize the symbol of the mausoleum that you were sent. You know, it makes sense that this is his order, goddess of fate and death. This is something you've learned, luckily, being, you know, amongst the people.
But now Ren's just going to wait. He was told to wait. No. Sword is drawn, shield is out, just ready.
Okay.
So what do we find?
Let's have more religion checks for starters.
Natural 1.
Natural 20.
Somehow, a basic, back and forth with the priestess of Wajet talking about the old gods, a little nugget of information. Why, even here, where you are being attended to, she says, the goddess of fate and death is not the only god to hold that domain. The ancient gods, like Wajet, have similar domains and dogmas. If the Pharasmites had not come and claimed the city, you might be very well sitting at a hospice, hospital, or shrine to the god Anubis. And then she describes the likeness of Anubis is a lot of the ancient gods of Assyrian look like men and women, but they always had like an animal head or some kind of mask, seemed to be a reoccurring theme amongst the entire pantheon. Looking around the corners, there's faces. Two of them depict Pharasma, and two of them, with your knowledge religion check of 20, have the likeness of Anubis. Death on all sides, but someone built this tomb referencing and being reverent to the ancient gods of death, as well as the newer, more popular, we save the city from magical plague, we own your asses, goddess Pharasma as well. Maybe death, one god, that's all you get, that's all you get, Albanerf. You've blocked out any other reference to any other with your natural one, right? The wheel against the south wall is 10 feet in diameter and 6 inches wide, and you can guess it weighs, you know, thousands and thousands of pounds, but still might be rollable. Taking an interest in the actual writing, they are hieroglyphs written in ancient Osiriani. Anyone speak ancient Osiriani?
Well, I do. I speak Jive.
Okay. Jive, giving a glossary, like, you know, you're just going along the wall, yes, this, and then, you know, jump to another panel and, you know, trying to take it in a little bit more rapidly and possibly going back over it slower later. In general, they describe the life of the tomb's enshrined occupant. Makes sense. This is like the gallery, the parlor, you know, who is beyond the door, you know, the life and times of Akintempi, a celebrated military commander who presided over the troops garrisoned in Wati prior to the city's downfall.
And I'll relay this information.
Okay. The hieroglyphs warn Akintempi's tomb is well defended, and those who would defile it will tempt the wrath of the gods. And then, very interestingly, gods being plural, he's probably talking about, you know, ye old ancient gods. They're written in ancient Osiriani, right here in the chat there for you, Frank, mentioning your goddess herself.
Interesting.
And this is another warning, an additional warning that's written on the wall. I don't know if you want to keep it to yourself because...
There's no point in causing a stir.
We'll have to get back to that. Ladies and gentlemen.
The only thing the Lady of Graves despises more than the grave robber is the unsuccessful grave robber, followed by a final admonishment to turn back while you can. Ren also speaks ancient Osiriani, and we'll just read that out.
Nice. Just leans over his shoulder. The knowledge that you don't want to upset people to glean to yourself. It's just kind of like, the guy just comes over and just blah, blah, blah. That's great.
I'll turn and look at him. Like I said, nothing of any grave concern. Let's see if we can get this stone moved, shall we?
Where did you learn ancient Osiriani, Ren? You don't remember. Why did that paragraph make just sort of like jump out at you? You know, the stork with the wing. Look, it's a Metaphys. You know, you ever seen the Money Movie kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, turning our attention to the door, I'd like to turn your attention to a round of perception checks, if you please.
Okay.
Natural 20 for 24.
Mike's rolling twice for me for some reason. 10.
17.
Sorry, I'm just setting up something here. I'm sorry. I don't have a picture for Old Man Arif. We don't have a dude.
That's fine.
You need a dude to have a mini. It's like you're a green splotch on the floor right now. That does not.
I think you can select it when you go to your character. Like there's just some generic ones you can pull out that they have.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now. I was just looking for something something handy and schmandy, at least to use as a mini for him. So really quickly here, animal. Nope. Oh, you know what? With all my tokens, I could type in cleric really quick and just see if I can't find. This will do for old footy daddy today. So now, there we go. When I pull you on the floor here. Oh, I've moved you. How do we get rid of Arif? Okay, sorry, one second. I have to delete Arif, go into characters, get the new Arif, get him back in the combat. Oh, look, new Arif has a mini. Yay. Okay, so we got Arif over here on a wall. Okay, we got Rin, and we've got. Things are going on. Okay, so can I have those perceptions once more, please?
24.
Okay.
720.
All right.
And
so I got Arif and Rin on a wall, and we've got Vex kind of doing the once around the room. Now you see how there's these big yellow markers.
That's your director indicator, right?
Right. Until we get the proper Devon Knight minis going, this is sort of your facing. Okay. Sure. For now. So with a not a stealth check, but just sort of a I'm small, I'm low, I'm wandering in. I'm looking for a place to have a nap. You know, oh, this looks like a good spot. The door is open. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. A scorpion wanders in through the door and sees us in here and reacts. And the stinger comes up and it clacks nervously and sort of challenges us. Like, you know, it wants in and it doesn't seem to like just want to run away because you're here. It seems offended that you're in its new, you know, new spot. Can I have you gentlemen roll for initiative, please?
Natural 20 for 22.
Nice.
I think I've hacked this dice roller. I honestly do. I'm just like 20, 20, 20.
Natural 20 for 21.
Oh my god, 19.
Try picking up a dice and doing that throwing roll as opposed to just double clicking on the, you know.
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm chucking it into the thing.
Here, I'm going to roll a real-world dice, see what it comes up as. Well, see if we're still rolling hot.
It didn't... If you guys find your character...
Nope, I got an 8.
Oh, okay. Arif's got a... Did you get 19, did you say?
That was just a raw dice roll. I think my initiative's minus 1. Yeah, it is.
Okay, so 18. And what'd you get, Ren?
18.
21?
Yes, 21.
Okay.
And I got 22.
All right. So, with Vex in the lead, setting us to round 1... Vex, you see the scorpion come in and react to you. What do you do?
Oh, my goodness. I draw my rapier.
Okay.
Ka-ching. I take a 5-foot step back.
Yep.
And I hide.
Okay.
Yikes.
You need some kind of bluff or distraction or cover to jump. You know what I mean? Oh, no.
He's closing his eyes.
There's shadow. I mean, the door is open ajar. It's illuminating you guys, right? But Ren has like a, or sorry, Old Man Arif has a torch going, which lights up the whole room. So if we're going off of natural lighting, I could say you could Batman recede into the shadows. But as long as Arif's got that torch going, everyone is like distinctly lit up and highlighted in the flickering torchlight. So
I'll just.
Now, backing off, maybe it'll go for them because they're closer now. Sure. But I'm just saying like.
Yep. I'll back off and let's see. How do I turn my direction?
You want a spider reverse parkour Japanese ghost up the wall in the corner? Like,
climb up on top of one of those heads.
Yep.
Did you say they were chest height?
Yeah. You grab a head and just use it like to bloink. Sure. I'm going to start climbing. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to drop your sword, put in teeth because you kind of need all four to.
Oh, all three. Ooh.
Need hands to climb.
I'm not going to climb.
Okay.
I'll just duck down in the corner and attempt to make myself small.
Okay. No threat.
It's best I can do.
Okay. The turtle position with the rapier sticking out, right? Or Sandy fighting style. Okay. Anything else, sir? That's you?
That's me.
Okay.
And I'll hold my action till it attacks. or it is attacked.
You've drawn your weapon as a move, and you've moved?
5 foot stepped.
Okay. So you're readying an action to stab it if it comes near you?
Yep.
Okay. Rin, what do you do?
5 foot step forward towards the scorpion with my long sword that is already drawn and swing at it.
Okay.
Wait one sec. 11 to hit?
No, sir. It's soft, clear, white, strange-looking carapace, as opposed to like a black or red scorpion, is malleable and looks soft, but is a little more durable than you might think, and deflects your blow. The scorpion takes offense to this, and, you know, does that rotating chitter, and just kind of like comes in the door, and from the doorway, because it's adjacent to you, even though half my butt's in the door, most of my front is in here, you know, just kind of turns a bit towards you and attacks you without technically moving from said square. So I'm going to have a go with some claws and a sting. I think I'm going to swipe at you with my claws. Miss. I forgot to target you, but do I have two claws? Let's just double check here.
Probably.
Well, it says attack, claw, or sting. It doesn't say two claws. Oh, here we go. Full attack, two claws, and sting. There we go. That's what I want. Because I didn't move. Full attack and sting. So what's going on here? Well, let me just move the tracker out of the way here for a second. So...
Jesus, man, what's your AC?
22.
With a 5, you know, coming at you, a 15, you know, and... Now, is it 25 with the tower shield?
No, it's 22 with the tower shield.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Why do you think I wanted the tower shield?
Yeah, oh, that's fine. So, getting in there, and like I said, the going for the legs and the feet, you guys see the stinger making diverse wide, tall, and low, and really fast strikes. And if he didn't literally have a, you know, a door on a handle he's walking around with, it's freaking huge, then yeah, like this sucker might have got him, but it's miss. Swing, choppy, miss. Old man Arif, it is your go, sir.
All right, I will excuse me, turn and face the creature. It's a scorpion.
Yes, knowledge nature.
Gaffar has written about these. Yes, let's see what I can find. Knowledge nature. Double click. 11. Nothing too dangerous. Nothing too noteworthy.
It's known as a ghost scorpion, and it's from warm deserts or underground. And that's probably why it's wandered in here, because it used underground terrain. It's looking for someplace cool and dark.
Be careful of the stinger. They're venomous. And I'm going to actually aid another or Ren and give him a bonus to attack on his next.
All right.
He seems pretty defensible, so I'm not terribly concerned about that. But he did miss, so we're going to try to...
So let's have a base attack roll from you, so we know for next time.
Yep. Let me just find this here. I'll just do a raw dice roll here real quick. Natural 1.
Natural 1. I guess maybe you're not going to be as much help as you thought you were, knowledgeable. So, gentlemen, coming around to round 2, Vex is crouched in a corner, rapier out. Old Man Arif is taking a step back, but trying to coordinate and aid another, but either Ren isn't paying attention, or maybe it is the language or cultural gap. Highly defensible tower shield blocking the swings of this agitated scorpion. And we will see the results of this battle and more next time on The Man from Osirian, The Mummy's Mask. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.